Welcome to Ruby Rider's Peggy in Paradise podcast number 65. On September 29th, 2013, I'm surprising you guys and getting one out early on a Sunday. Hey, hey, hey. So, first of all, let me... I can't say this without laughing. So no music on the last podcast. Yeah, sorry about that. Oh yeah, I was just seeing if you were awake, right? I was just seeing if you would notice. yeah, I forgot. That's what happened. I totally forgot. And I had it up and posted. And then I realized, oh my God, I never added the music. And rather than redo it and rather than really, you know, go to all that trouble, I thought, you know what? One podcast without the music is okay. So I'm sorry if you missed it, but that's what happened. Okay. To the letters. This is a letter from B. Hi, Ruby. My wife and I have a great sex life, and both of us are very open to trying new things. We've been pegging since before we were married and have great traditional sex as well. Because of kids and our work, me as a, I'm not even going to say these things, and her as a full-time, we don't get to be intimate as much as we would like, but when we do, it is always amazing. My question for you is, because our intimate time together is limited, it is always tough to settle on whether we have sex or she pegs me. Sometimes we just know that we both either want one or the other, but there are many times that we both want to be the fuckee and not the fucker. Occasionally we do both in one session, but this is rare because most of the time we are too tired or don't have time to do both in one session. Or in the case where I come inside her during sex, we seem to never make it past the refractory period to get to the pegging. Have you heard of any other couples having this problem, and what are some ideas for us to sort out or decide when to peg and when to have sex? Ooh, complicated question. More often I have gotten the question of new to pegging, guy totally loves it, is kind of obsessed by it, and he wants it all the time, and he's hoping for it all the time, so every time they have sex, he's really, really hoping for it. And she's kind of gets tired of him always wanting that, and she wants some regular fucking. So those are the questions that I've answered more often. But, you know, the whole interplay between who's the fucker and the fucky, yeah, that's something that gets decided every time you have sex. So what I normally tell people who have that question is to schedule it. And I know, you know, scheduling can be kind of funky, but, you know, let's face it, we all know that pegging is not a real spontaneous type of activity much of the time. So it's kind of nice to plan it anyway, because that way you have time to get cleaned out and things like that. But yours is a little more complicated. I think I might still suggest a schedule. And, you know, I don't mean a hard and fast rigid one, because that's no fun where sex is concerned, but what it sounds like to me is that you both are a little bit more wanting to be on the receiving side of things. Like you said, you both want to be the fucky. So more on the submissive side, even though I don't want to throw that word out there because that's a loaded word, just like dominant. You both want the other person to run the fuck and be receivers. So then you just need to negotiate and have it be fairly equal. And so scheduling is one way to do that. I mean, I suppose what you can do is alternate. And I know that that doesn't take into account the times when you are in a mood. You know, all of a sudden, maybe one person really does want to be the fucker and not the fucky. So I know you can't assume that both of you always want to be the fucky. I think if this relationship were me and I was trying to work this out, what I would do is have somewhat of a loose schedule that revolved around alternating so that every other time you got to be the fucky, and still leave it open for changes in mood. So in other words, the schedule says tonight she gets fucked, he fucks her. But maybe you're talking before dinner and you're like, so you down with the schedule? Is that what you want? Or how are you feeling? And maybe he says, you know what? I so want to get fucked. And she's like, I'm down for that. And if you agree, then that's awesome. Otherwise, I get how there is that tension. You know, there's that tension at the beginning of a coming together. And it would be different if both of you more often wanted to be the fucker. Then it could be maybe a little fun thing where they're sort of like a wrestling for power. And I don't even necessarily mean wrestling all physically. It could be actions. It could be words. It can be physical as well. But, you know, if you're sort of wrestling to be the receiver, you're not wrestling. You're both just laying there going, so fuck me. And that was what kind of made me chuckle a little bit, because, I mean, that's not really a struggle. That's more just like a waiting and hoping. And there is a tension when it's like that. So I do find that a schedule is a little bit more helpful for couples who are going through this. And that's kind of the only suggestion I have off the top of my head. I really do invite any other couples who are going through this and have found any other tricks that they use or just want to relate their own experience around this, please call in, write in, and let me know, because we can like share the knowledge and learn. And I'd love to hear what other couples have come up with around this. And thank you very much for writing in. I hope we have some information from other people for you next time. Here is a long letter from another bee who wrote in many moons ago, and it was on podcast number 41 that I read his message. And I just wanted to mention he uses the word lingam, which is a Sanskrit word for penis. In case anyone doesn't catch that context, he uses that word. So there you go. So I'm going to go ahead and read it now. It's been quite a while since podcast number 41, since I have written you. We are still at it, and pegging just keeps getting better all the time. My now wife is the most awesome, understanding, loving woman a man could ever want. Our love life has opened a whole new appreciation for each other that neither of us have ever experienced. The connection we feel on an energetic level is absolutely amazing. For the first time for each of us, we feel safe, loved, appreciated, and open to please each other with no expectations. We have tried a few new things that worked out to make all of this possible. Once in a while, I like to open to my feminine side, and she fully supports me experimenting and feeling very feminine. I sometimes wear her clothes, since we are about the same size, around the house, and she is fine with it, allowing me to enjoy the feel of a skirt and panties. Not long ago, I expressed the desire to be fully feminized, and we ended up going shopping for a sexy dress. I picked out a dress and went into the changing room to try it on. I even stepped out so she could see it. Anyway, on the way home, we stopped at a deserted parking lot out of the way, and I changed into the dress and drove the whole way home. The next weekend, I shaved my legs and we went out for pedicures and manicures. I wore a pair of her shorts, panties, and feminine shoes. It was to be our girls' day out. We ended up having our toes painted close to the same color and thoroughly enjoyed the foot and leg massages. It was wonderful, with both of us feeling pampered. The woman giving the manicure really wanted to paint my nails, but we both decided it was a bit much. Besides, we had some important shopping to do afterwards. After allowing our polish to dry on our toes, we ended up at a department store to look at shoes, dresses, and panties. I really wanted a sexy thong to complete my wardrobe, and we ended up getting four. It was so exhilarating being in public with shaved legs and painted toenails shopping for sexy things to wear later that evening. When we returned home, I finally got to transform into total feminine mode. I had spent two evenings prior dressed as a woman and feeling my feminine energy peak. After changing into some sexy pink thong panties, a padded bra, the dress from the weekend before, heels, and a wig, my lovely wife did my makeup, completing the transformation. It was amazing standing there in the bathroom in nothing but a pink pair of panties, allowing my wife to apply the eyeshadow, blush, lipstick, and helping me to transform into a girl for the evening. After completely dressing the part, I was to be her lesbian lover for the evening. She also changed into a very sexy see-through skirt and matching bra and looked absolutely hot. With some flirting and playing the part of a lesbian hitting on a married woman, we began making out. The lust in her eyes and the way she kissed showed she was as turned on as I was, feeling her hands run down my body and up my dress, caressing my smoothly shaved ass, made my knees weak. With some firm pressure on the butt plug, she sent shivers down my spine as my prostate was stimulated. She was hot and ready to be pleased. We went to the bedroom and made out with her squeezing my ass and breasts. I was hard as a rock, but wanted to please her as a woman, and slowly moved my way down her body. One of my favorite things to do to my wife is slowly work my way around her body with kisses down her belly, inside her thighs, then start licking her inner thighs and making sure she is wet and turned on before kissing those wonderful lips between her legs. I love to please her in this way, and she can have many orgasms before we ever become one. This time was different. Since I was so into my feminine side, I had some new motions that came out of nowhere. As she looked down at me and saw me as a woman and a safe lover to let go and just enjoy, I did something that was totally different, and she found it incredibly enjoyable. My tongue went deep inside her, and I sucked some of her vaginal canal out to go even deeper. She came several times and ended up laying there panting, regaining her breath. It's wonderful knowing that tuning into my feminine side can come out with new learning experiences. We went back to making out, and she said she wanted to make love to me. I helped her put on the lady lingam and remove the butt plug that was inserted earlier. We kissed and made out some more. Then she removed my panties, bent me over, and slowly slid into me. She slid the whole 7 inches in and started to make love to me, as only she has. The thought of my wife being the only one to do this is something I cherish and enjoy. With her hands firmly holding my hips, she started to pound deep and hard. I moaned, cried out in pleasure, and came. She didn't stop, but kept going, and at one point said, "That's what I want to hear." She proceeded to make me come 4 times before finishing. There were 4 separate tracks of cum on the towel from each time. I did not even have my lingam touched the whole time. I'm amazed at how good she has gotten with the lady lingam, and it is now like a part of her. We are doing it about 2 times per month, and both of us are enjoying it immensely. In the spirit of giving as much as receiving, I worship her feet, suck on her toes, lick her anywhere she desires, treat her as a goddess with no expectations, and most of all, love and respect her needs. The only way we touch each other is with love and adoration. It's a running joke that we have never had sex and only make love. Sure, it's a lot of fun to let the woman inside me out from time to time, but she is still in love with her husband and likes my masculine side to be in the forefront. I do like being masculine, but being allowed and encouraged to feel my feminine side is something I never expected. Some of the things we have learned are to use a butt plug to ease into pegging. It really helps to loosen me up, and it's a great external way for her to send shivers straight to the prostate. I quiver every time she does this. When she finally takes me, I am ready, and in no time I have all 7 inches comfortably inside, with her firmly against my ass, wiggling from side to side. Another is the harness we chose. Works awesome. It is from Spartacus and has no O-ring. There's a separate piece of leather that snaps on the back, and the dildo is inserted through a hole in the front and 4 adjustable straps. We have not had a single instance of the dildo popping out at all. It fits wonderfully and looks incredibly sexy. I love the way it fits her body and how the straps accent her beautiful butt. My erections continue to be extra firm, especially for a solid week after a good pegging. Even she notices the difference. My prostate feels wonderful, and before we get down to it, I start to feel a craving for her touch back there. It's a different kind of turn-on and desire, and it's become something I really like before we actually get to the juicy stuff. Pegging has brought a whole new level of intimacy and love into our lives, and we will continue along this path of pleasing each other and enjoying bringing that pleasure to each other. By the way, I was pegged totally masculine yesterday on my back, with her firmly insisting I spread my legs wider so she could go deeper. But that's another story. Just for the record, we are in our mid-40s. Wow, what a letter. That's a hot letter. Holy moly. You write well, sir. You write well. Very exciting. So I looked back as to what you wrote before, and I did notice that yours was the letter where you talked about after you started pegging and doing prostate exploration, that all of a sudden you felt like your erections were like when you were 20. And that was awesome to hear. And I actually kind of did a bit of a survey amongst the guys. I think I went to Reddit even and asked guys if they had ever experienced that. And not very many have, but a few had. So it's wonderful to hear that you're still experiencing that. And at the time, I guessed that you were about 45 to 50. And so I guessed, I suppose I guessed correctly, because you said you're in your mid-40s. I'm really, really thrilled for you to hear that the firmer erections are continuing. And it's interesting to note that they continue for about a week after you get pegged. When I go to CatalystCon this weekend, I'm going to be talking with C.T. Schenck, who's the CEO of Aneros. And if anybody knows about prostate stuff, it would be him. So I'm going to ask him about that. See if he says has anything or other anecdotal things from other customers. And I'd love to see the kind of harness that you're talking about. I looked up that name and I could only really find a couple by that name that had a solid leather piece in the back. And it didn't really match your description because it had the usual O-ring setup. But I'm really glad it works for you and I'd love to see the link. Also, it just warmed my heart, the description of the feminization play that you two enjoyed. It's absolutely wonderful that she's just as into it as you are into it yourself. And I love that there's still the part of you that is masculine and she loves that. And the cross-dressing is exploring something different and fun. And not because one is better than the other. It's just that I think that there's a lot of men out there who fear that if they start to explore the feminization and cross-dressing to whatever degree they desire, that their partner will never again see them as a masculine guy. And this story is a great example of showing how it's not as black and white as that. I mean, sure, there are some men out there that really would love to be cross-dressing all the time. But I think that there's more of them that kind of go back and forth. And it's not as black and white as, you know, once I do it, then she's never going to look at me the same way. And so for the women, too, I mean, check out how this woman plays with it a little and has fun with it. And if your partner approaches you with it, don't freak out. If your partner wants to cross the line a bit and have some fun with gender play, just be open to it and see what happens. You know, be the GGG partner who gives it a try to see how it'll feel and what happens between you. So I am really happy for you, you mid-40-ish couple, that you guys are having so much fun together. Thank you for writing in and telling your story for others to share in. We all learn things from the sharing of our experiences, and also people feel a little less alone in their desires involving this kind of wild, edgy type of play, as well as the feminization. So yay. Keep having fun and keep writing me some stories. That last one you hinted at, that would be a good one. Okay, I am recording this ahead of time so that you guys have a podcast posting on Sunday morning, and I have to say I can't wait to get to CatalystCon and see my tribe. I'm leaving tomorrow, and the very first thing I'm going to be attending is Tristan Terramino's Sex Educator Boot Camp. And there's so many things that I'm going to get to hear and so many people I'm going to get to talk to. One of the classes I'm really, really looking forward to attending is an advanced seek to... One of the classes I am so looking forward to attending is an advanced sex toy geek conversation about toy toxicity, and it's called Beyond Phthalates. It turns out there are many other toxic substances to be concerned about besides phthalates, and this is sort of an advanced toxic toy class. The Danish Ministry did an environmental study in 2005, and it's the only publicly available analysis and health risk assessment of chemical substances in sex toys. And they only tested 16 randomly chosen toys, but the results were really pretty alarming. You know, no doubt I'll return with a ton of information like last year and bend your ears in the hopes that you will all become more informed sex toy consumers and that you will all go out and tell your friends and your family and anyone else who is open to hearing about sex toys and uses them. In the other way around, anybody who is open, who uses them and is open to hearing about them, about how to be an informed sex toy consumer, because it's really, really important. Okay, so toxic sex toys. Last year at Catalyst Con West, I attended a panel about toxic sex toys, and I learned an awful lot about the lack of regulation. I had already been kind of studying this for some time, but I learned a lot more. And as a highlight, I'm going to tell you a story that I've told a couple of times, but I want to spread this story as widely as I can. During that panel, Jennifer Pritchett, who is one of the owners of Smitten Kitten, which has a brick-and-mortar store in Minnesota, and they also have a very strong online presence, and they're one of the best companies out there that I know of that insist on only selling non-toxic toys. Jennifer Pritchett was one of the people on that panel, and at one point in time, somebody in the audience mentioned something about, well, what about just putting condoms over those toys? What about that? And she had quite a reaction to that and said, you know, there is no study that shows that it makes toxic toys safe. There is no proof that stops the chemicals from coming through and getting into your body. And she presented to us, she offered to us the concepts, the scientific concepts of inert and active. Silicone, which is the best thing for sex toys to be made out of, is inert, which means it's not going to react with anything around it. It's inert. And active means it absolutely can react with different things around it. Latex condoms are active, and latex condoms can react with things around them. Latex condoms, or even non-latex condoms, are built to stop the movement of bacteria, STDs, and they're not built to stop the flow or the movement or the transference of chemicals. That's not what they're built for. So that kind of stuck in the back of my mind. And I wrote a big article about it. I did a podcast about toxic toys. And I got this man who wrote me and said, wow, I never knew that these toys were toxic. And now it explains it, because I had this big collection of toys and it just seemed like every time I tried to use them, I reacted. And he said he would have a burning sensation. He said, I tried everything. I tried baking them. I tried boiling them. I tried soaking them in bleach. I tried everything, and nothing worked. And so I saw that as an opportunity, and I wrote him back, and I said, you said you tried everything. Did you try condoms? And he said, yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I tried up to 3 condoms, and the only thing that it would do was delay the period of time between inserting it into my ass and the burning to start, you know, 5 to 7 minutes. So here's my conclusion. I know this is one anecdotal story, but apparently this man is really, really sensitive to these chemicals, because there are people who can actually use those toxic toys and not have any reaction whatsoever. But that does not mean that those chemicals are not getting into your body. To me, even this one anecdotal story shows that there's a very good chance that this is means that these chemicals are transferring into your body and they're coming out of the toxic toys. So please, please be aware of this and do not spread the rumor that just put a condom on it, you'll be safe. And if you're ever in a sex toy store and you say, no, I'm not going to buy that because that's toxic, and they say, just put a condom on it, tell them the story. You know, be assertive. Tell them they really shouldn't be telling their customers that. Because there's, like Jennifer Pritchett said, it's not true. There is nobody that can absolutely say that is true. That is something that they do so that they can get rid of those stupid toxic toys or sell them. You know, I say get rid of. Get rid of implies that they're actually going to change their business practices and not sell something toxic. Which, speaking of, okay, I did a blog post back in March of 2013, March of this year, and I was ranting about podcasters who advertise for companies that sell toxic toys. So, at the time, I mentioned I couldn't believe it because Sex Nerd Sandra and Dan Savage both advertise for Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve sell crap toys. They sell a whole shitload of crap toys. And I was very indignant and self-righteous on that blog post. And I titled the blog post, I Will Never. And I went on to say that I would never do that. I would never sell out for the sake of the money. And that I would never advertise for companies who don't care about the health of their consumers. And as an aside, most of you probably know by now that Sex Nerd Sandra contacted me and asked to interview me, and we did a lovely interview, and it was all about pegging. And Sex Nerd Sandra is an amazing person. I really, really like her. And I can't tell you how awkward it was for me. She never said a word about it. When she contacted me over Facebook and said, can I interview you about pegging? And you know how there's the line of conversation on Facebook? Well, that's where I wrote her and said, how can you advertise for Adam and Eve? I totally confronted her on it. And she never replied. And it was about a year ago, almost. Well, you know, March, I guess it wasn't quite a year. It was like 6 months. Right above that conversation of Sex Nerd Sandra saying, will you do an interview with me and talk about pegging? There is my attack, you know, saying, how can you advertise for Adam and Eve? She was gracious about it if she noticed it. She never said a word. So yeah, that was awkward. And it was funny because, you know, I saw that note and I kind of wanted to hide it. Why did I want to hide it? Ooh, Sex Nerd Sandra's pretty big in the world of podcaster. She is a mover and a shaker, and I just think she's really, really an amazing person. So I so wanted to do that interview with her that I didn't want anything to risk it. I didn't want her to see that I had written before and accused her of doing advertising for Adam and Eve. So I did kind of want it to go away, but I just took a deep breath and knew that there was no way to make that happen. And of course, I never heard back from Dan Savage at all either. So I was having dinner with a lovely man, and this topic came up, and I got all ranty about it, and I told him this story, and he said something very close to, whoa, somebody call the press. We have a principled one here. And it really cracked me up, but it also made me think, because, you know, I suppose everybody has their price, and I realized when my friend and I discussed that a little further, I realized that I'd committed myself by posting that dramatic declaration, and that if I ever did advertise for the bad guys like Adam and Eve, I'd look pretty silly, and I'd look like I totally compromised my morals, which is what I would be doing. I was so passionate about it when I posted that, and when I sat back for a moment and thought about it, just sitting there having dinner with my friend, I realized, okay, it's kind of inevitable that at some point in time, if I get big enough and well-known enough, that they're going to come to me and I'm going to hear from them and they're going to want to advertise with me. So sure enough, may I present to you my letter from an Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve marketing assistant. It's a firm who represents Adam and Eve. Now, first of all, let me tell you that the subject line said, collaboration on pegging101.com. I find it absolutely fascinating that they chose that website of mine, which I'll talk about later. But anyway, the word collaboration really kind of caught my attention. And here's the email. Hi, Ruby. We would love to work with your site in some capacity, such as through contributing unique content or by providing a display for placement. The guest editorial will be professionally written and will reference my client's site, Adam and Eve, parentheses, adameve.com, the most established provider of adult products for both men and women in the U.S., parentheses, not safe for work. If banner is preferred, I am happy to send over a few options for review. I appreciate your consideration and look forward to your response. Sincerely, Katie Shaw, Marketing Assistant. My response was this. Hello, Katie. At this time, I am not interested in having any ads that represent companies that sell toxic toys, especially companies that sell toxic toys and do not warn their customers about the toxicity of what they are buying. Should Adam and Eve show serious concern for the welfare of their customers, I would be happy to discuss a possible collaboration. Ruby Ryder. She wrote back, "Hi, Ruby. Thank you so much for your reply. I fully understand. Please let me know if anything changes or if any additional opportunities arise. We would certainly love to work with you and your site. Thanks again for your consideration. Sincerely, Katie Shaw, Marketing Assistant." So my friend that I was having dinner with, he said something very funny when I copied these emails and sent them to him. He said, "You're even hotter when you get your dander up on this topic. Good for you." So there you have it. You know, interestingly enough, as I mentioned, they approached me about pegging101.com, which according to my Google Analytics has had about 40 or so people visiting it each month since I put it up, 40 uniques. Uniques are defined as 40 unique people coming to visit the website. And no matter how many times they come back to it, it still only counts as that many people. So 40 uniques for pegging101.com. Why they did not approach me about Pegging Paradise, which actually averages these days between 17 and 20,000 uniques a month, I have not a clue. Anyway, I said no, and I am proud that I said no, because when I really think about what's happening when unsuspecting, uneducated people buy toxic sex toys and the chemicals that are leaching into their bodies, you know, and those chemicals are causing who knows what damage. I mean, maybe this is why so many women get cervical cancer. Maybe this is why there are a host of other reproductive system issues. Maybe this is why prostate issues happen. Maybe a lot of things. That's just it. We don't know. But if these chemicals have been researched enough to be banned from children's toys, and sex toy manufacturers and retailers, including Adam and Eve, Doc Johnson, and many others, when they knowingly sell these toys without informing their customers that they might be dangerous, that's despicable, in my opinion. It really, really is. And I choose the word dangerous and despicable. I choose those words carefully and intentionally. You can't tell me that chemicals that are not safe in toys that children might chew on and have been banned in them past very, very small percentage. You can't tell me that very high percentages content of those chemicals in sex toys are just fine. Sex toys that are going to be used in the asses and or vaginas of adults. That's just bullshit. And okay, it's not a law that says they can't be in there. It's not regulated. But you know what? The moral disconnect of knowingly profiting from toxic sex toys is, in my opinion, unconscionable. I feel really passionate about this subject, in case you can't tell. Sex toys are becoming more and more popular, which I'm really thrilled about. I think the whole topic of sexuality is becoming more easily discussed little by little. But what that means is that couples who normally weren't even talking in the bedroom are maybe starting to do that now, and maybe part of that results in them going out and getting some sex toys. And there's not a lot of good places for education about this. You know, the people who are passionate about it, we're doing our best, and there are sources, but what happens many times, I find, is that people who have gotten past those walls that they had in their bedroom about no conversation and things like that, and people who were finally stepping over the line and going, "Hey, let's check out some toys. That'll be fun." There's a certain passion and intensity and immediacy connected with that decision. So they go off and they buy things, and everybody wants to save a little money, so they buy the cheap ones, and they have no idea that these things are totally toxic. So we have a large percentage of people out there that are buying crap. Now, there are people who do research on the internet, but I don't know this for sure. I think those number less than the people who don't do the research and just buy something. And then also you have people who really can't afford to buy anything expensive. students and, you know, people like that, people with limited income. So there's a whole host of people out there that could be affected by this. And it's not the same as, say, manufacturers of cigarettes or something like that, because there are warnings on the labels of cigarettes. There are no warnings whatsoever on the packages of toxic toys. The manufacturers and also the retailers that choose to sell those toxic toys are all guilty, at the very least, of not giving a crap about their customers. I mean, basically what they're saying to their customers without saying the words is, you know what? Your health be damned. I mean, and they're doing it for the sake of the almighty dollar. It's all about profit. Like I said in my blog post back in March, buyer fucking beware. So I'm not going to do that. I said no to Adam and Eve. And frankly, I don't want to know how much they might have paid me for a banner on Pegging Paradise when they found out I have between 17 and 20,000 uniques a month. I don't even want to know, because I did the right thing. And I did the thing that I can sleep at night with and feel good about. And the advertising that I will be doing on Pegging Paradise, I'm kind of slow getting the affiliate links happening, but I will be doing some advertising finally after almost 3 years of nothing at all. All of those links, all of those companies, you can totally be assured it's non-toxic, quality, and body-safe companies and products. Because that is still my promise to you, same as back in March. I will never sell out. Because you know what? All of you are why I'm here. And I'm not going to get all teary-eyed about this, but it's true. I want what's best for all of us. I don't just want money so that I can go to Italy and find some beautiful Italian men with dark curls and luscious accents and long-lashed eyes to fuck. Right? It's not all about me. You are an essential part of this formula, and I will not knowingly sacrifice your well-being for the lovely Italian men I so want to fuck. Seriously, though, you really can depend on my recommendations. I won't sell out. I will not give you recommendations to the shitty, toxic toy companies. So thanks for listening to all that. It's important information. Please share it as widely as possible. Please share this podcast at will. It's good stuff. People really need to know it. And I didn't really go into intense detail about the chemicals themselves, because what I really want to do here is I want to inspire people to do research. One of the most important things is to educate yourself. And so I'm going to have links on my blog for this. But if you're just looking to this podcast, then do a search on either peggingparadise.com or pegging101.com for the toxic toy articles. And, you know, there's a lot of other sources besides what I write. What I am trying to do also is that I have articles up on Pegging 101 and also Pegging Paradise. And on those articles at the end of them, what I'm trying to do is keep a current list of sex toy manufacturers that are non-toxic, body safe, and also retailers that have committed to and promised to sell only non-toxic toys. And that's a current list that I have a few people helping me out and giving me recommendations to add. So it's getting to be kind of a long list. It's pretty cool. So if nothing else, that's a place where you can look for different companies. Some of them are rather obscure and rather strange and only make a couple of toys, but still, everybody needs their day in the sun. You know, everybody needs to be shined on as a non-toxic toy company, if that's indeed what they do. So know that you can find that information there as well. Okay, for next week, I have a bit of a surprise for you, because on my question line, what ended up happening was I got a lovely call from a young man, and I'm just going to give you a teaser here, and you're going to get to hear the whole interview next week. It's going to take me a little while to edit it, and he called and actually asked me to call him back, because he had just returned earlier that day from visiting a pro for his first time at pegging, and he thought it might make a good interview, and it absolutely did. So you have that to look forward to next week. I hope you enjoy it. I know you will. It's really, you know, powerful stuff happens with first-person stories. And just to hear somebody talking about it is really quite extraordinary. And I know there's a lot of men out there who would love to find a partner for pegging. And I have recommended, you know, consider a pro. And there are so many men out there that say that they would never, ever, ever do that. And so here's another way of looking at it. This is a different decision that this man made. And I think you're really going to enjoy it. So you have all week to look forward to that. Okay, speaking of the question line, you can leave your questions or your stories at 805-500-6544. That's 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter, Ruby_Writer. I have a Facebook page that absolutely needs your thumbs up. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and things that never show up in my podcast, like that blog post saying, I will never. My podcast is available on iTunes, and it can also be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. Please go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me a cool review. It would be totally awesome of you. And send all your questions and stories, if you don't want to call the question line, to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Thank you again, and thank you every time for downloading and listening. And as always, happy pegging.